It's called Let's Keep the Flames of Hope Alive. Never Let the Fires Die. Let's keep the flames of hope alive and never let the fires die. Take the lie of the lie.
This is Jeff Fulton.
This is Steve Fulton.
And you have reached Episode 3, Season 2 of Never Let the Fires Die.
The Alarm Podcast. We've been away for a little while. Jeff and I had some personal issues to take care of, specifically with one of our parents, and it has taken up most of our time in the past 6 weeks, I think.
2 months, probably.
Yeah, and so, interestingly enough, Mike Peters sent us the tracks for Viral Black right about when our mom went in the hospital, and we've been listening to it ever since. It was about 3 weeks before it came out to everyone else.
Right.
And I have to say that album has pretty much carried me through this entire experience that we've been going through.
Yeah, it's a great record.
It's not just a great record. Oh, so first, Lynn, let me say this before we get into the record. We talked about, I put up a news item on thealarm.com about 5 weeks ago, and it was about a contest. And the contest was to win one of two Mike Peters signed harmonicas that were signed at the Vans Warped Tour. And this was the contest. The contest was two things we wanted to hear from our listeners. We wanted to hear why should we interview you for our podcast. And also we wanted to hear an idea for what to do on the podcast. One or two or both of those. And we wanted you to email those to Steve A. Fulton, STEVEAFULTON, at gmail.com. And we would pick a winner, and it would also allow us to figure out how to continue our podcast and do stuff. So we're still going to do that. And now we're extending that contest to November 1st. So the last day to submit for that contest is November 1st, 2017. We want to give more people the opportunity because it didn't really get out on the podcast itself. So that's that. Contest, send to Steve A. Fulton, STEVEAFULTON, at gmail.com, your idea for why we should interview you on our podcast, and what you'd like to hear on the podcast, and we will randomly select a winner from the people that give us an idea, and then secondarily, we just randomly select another winner, because we have two signed harmonicas from Mike Peters. Okay, so let's talk about Viral Black. So when we left Blood Red, it felt like the last song was Crowd Trouble, and to me, it doesn't end like any normal Alarm song would end on any record. It ends kind of leaving you wanting more. It felt like a cliffhanger.
It certainly did feel like a cliffhanger, didn't it, Steve?
It felt like a cliffhanger, and I didn't know what to expect from Viral Black when it came over the wire. And as soon as I started listening to it, I was surprised, because the first song is Two Rivers.
Love and hate divides us. Two sides of the wall. Once we were lovers, we had it all.
I was looking for many, many people have heard Two Rivers live. I heard it on the tour when the Alarm were here in the summer, as well as at the Vans Warped Tour.
And on YouTube, I've heard it a couple times, different versions.
And the spectacular part of Two Rivers live has to be the ending. Extended ending where Mike yells out lyrics from the other songs on the record, other things, and just, it's like a crowd-pleasing, like, roaring end to a set.
So you would think you might find that at the end of the record.
But it's not. It's at the beginning of the record. And I think that Two Rivers on this record actually sort of starts out the record in a way that I didn't expect. And the reason is, I think from listening to the lyrics of Two Rivers on the record, it feels like it's a different song than I thought it was. It feels like it's Mike talking about the ending of something.
Interesting. For me, it was an epic ending to the show, feeling like it would be an epic ending to a record. It actually could have been the epic ending to Blood Red, and then the start of something new to me.
And what I think, the reason why I say it sounds like an ending, it sounds like, to me, this, I know Mike never defines his records, but it sounds like to me the ending of, or something that had to do with Dead Man Walking and also Big Country. And you know, there was,
yes,
you know, in the UK, they were not allowed to be called Dead Man Walking. They had to be called, what did they call themselves? The Jack Tars.
Jack Tars.
And there's something in there. And there's also another song on this record that I think puts the exclamation point on Dead Man Walking / Jack Tars, which we'll get to. But I do think this is a solid song, and it's produced amazing. And every single song on this record is produced impeccably.
Yeah, there's the same wide open spaces that were on Blood Red are there, but there's a lot more filled in with guitar parts. And there's a little more angry yelling on this record in general than there
right.
was on Blood Red, where it was a lot softer, a lot more singing in an introspective way. Still the same quality of tunes, and actually better tunes for rocking out. And that's why when I've seen the set list right now that are going on live, there are many more songs from Viral Black than Blood Red, because there's more rockin' tunes you want to play live.
Yeah, it's more of a this is more of a record that's live. But that's Two Rivers. The one thing annoys me about Two Rivers, it's the only thing that annoys me pretty much this entire record, is I am not a fan of the little funky guitar line.
All against me.
At the beginning, when I first heard the song, they really annoyed me. Now I don't even notice that anymore.
I don't notice them either. They did annoy me too, but they sound, it's still sort of slapped in it in post-production. But you know what? Anything that gives James Stevenson something to do on the guitar while playing the bass at the same time, I don't know how that
it
works.
It does make the song sound different, too, which is kind of cool. So it starts with Two Rivers, which is an amazing way to start the record. I mean, people didn't think that, right? I mean, again, it feels like it's going to be the end, and all of a sudden it's the beginning. It makes you go, okay, well, what comes next?
It does have, the beginning does have the same starting drum beat that happens in many Mike Peters songs that are trying to be epic, but it doesn't use that very often. I mean, nothing wrong with it either. It was used in Drunken Disorderly and things like that. But it really, all the songs really, except for one or two, really add in the keyboards to sort of fill in a very interesting way.
Yeah, I love the actual, it's not really keyboard, I'd say it's more like the
synthesizer.
There's so many great synthesizer parts. In fact, there's actually places where I wish it was up in the mix. Whereas on Blood Red, the first song, Tomorrow, where it feels like the synthesizers are way too up in the mix and you want to hear the guitars, this is different. There are places where I wish they were just a little bit louder here, because they really add a cool effect to the song. So, let's go on to 13 Dead Reindeers.
Someone dies in the desert. Someone cries on the streets. While my keyboard light flashes with a text and a tweet. My night turns to day. And my day turns to night.
It's reindeers instead of reindeer, but I'm sure there's
so I for it. So I looked it up, and reindeers is an acceptable plural for reindeer.
So we're good. Also,
I actually, this one on first listen, this was my favorite song on the record.
So this, remember how last podcast we did the best of the Bond stuff that
right.
was not released, and you picked out Resurrection as one of
right.
your songs. This song reminds me a lot of Resurrection, but a fully realized version of Resurrection.
Right, with there's more there.
Yeah, I think this is a great track. I think this would have done well on on Blood Red, too, to fill out the sound of Blood Red. I don't have a lot more to say about the song, except I really like it.
It does have, it starts out a little bit, I would say, does start out a lot, to me, like a Rolling Stones song.
Oh, definitely Rolling Stones, and you know, kind of like a latter-day song off Change.
The interesting thing about all of these is this. When it does sound like a Rolling Stones song, it's actually not... I'll say it's not, nothing about it seems out of place. Like everything has, there may be some familiar sounds to songs on this record, but they still all harken back to the same production, the same sound.
Yeah, which
I can't always say it's the same with Alarm records like Change, where yes, it did sound like they were playing in a giant warehouse, Antonio Visconti was producing it, but the songs didn't all sound similar enough for you to catch on to, you know, why is there a song like Scarlet on this and a song like Devolution
or The Rock
or The Rock when they're completely different genres?
I have to say,
almost.
like a song like Devolution Working Man Blues was produced like some of the songs on this record, like Hellfire or this Fire. Song, it would have been amazing. The guitars on this record are just so good,
yeah.
So well produced. It's right up there in one of the best tracks on the record. But the problem with saying that is like. There's like nine best tracks
yeah,
on the record.
There's nine best tracks.
Actually, in the same token, we'll get to it. I think this record also holds two of Mike Peters'
best songs ever written. Exactly.
So the third track is called Beautiful.
Beautiful. And this is a song that I went on before anyone had actually heard this and went on to Facebook and said that, you know, right after Grant Hart had died from Hoosier Du, I had said, you know, I just listened to Beautiful again, and it sounds like a Grant Hart song off of Warehouse Songs and Stories by Husker Du, and it actually still does.
I personally think it sounds like a Foo Fighters song.
Same thing, because there would be no Foo Fighters without Husker Du, and they both play drums, and they both wrote their own songs and sang, and it does.
Good
point. Sounds like that. It kind of starts a little oddly, because 13 Dead Raiders ends, and Beautiful is not have like a very spectacular opening. It just goes right into the driving guitar.
Down and being changed, everything's drowning, going down beneath the waves. And I know that everything is beautiful tonight. Everything is beautiful on the inside.
And that's okay. Like a lot of times you have like a solo drum mix beforehand. And so, no, this just goes right into the song. It sounds a lot like, I'm going to say a Minneapolis or LA punk song, but a little bit more tempered.
And I, you know, if you had to choose one song off this record that might work as a single on a modern alternative station, this might be it.
That might be it, yeah.
You know, it does sound different. I think in some ways it reminds me a lot of songs from Under Attack. It just sounds, it has the feel of a sort of a mid-aughties Alarm,
right.
Mike Peters
and it does,
Alarm song.
It will be a hidden gem for people, because lots of people are going to go into this and they're going to pick out the songs that we're going to pick out as the best ones. And later on you go, hey, remember Beautiful? That song's awesome, because you wouldn't have listened to it as much. You would have listened
exactly,
to the other ones.
Exactly.
Too.
You go back to it. Yeah, well, that's Beautiful and it's great. And you know, we're sort of compacted, short podcast this time. We're going through the songs quickly because we don't have a lot of time. We're still in this mode with the things we're going on in our personal lives that need to get
finished.
Worked out and finished. That's where we're pushing stuff. But just so you know, we would love to talk more about these songs online or with anybody else, but we really want to get this out there to talk about this record, because I've been filled with thoughts about it for 6 weeks now.
Exactly.
They've been washing over me.
And I haven't even received my CD yet.
Oh, I got my CD.
I haven't got mine yet.
So anyway, let's go on to track number four.
Neutral.
Neutral. Now, I have to say, at the beginning, I couldn't stand this song. It was the least favorite song. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then you kind of tried to turn me around
on it. To me, it's the cousin of Beautiful, actually, to be honest with you. It does sound a little bit like another... So the punkiness of this record is not Mike Peters trying to be Stiff Full Fingers.
No,
The punkiness of this record is Mike Peters listening to some, or not just listening, because he listened at all, but some really interesting New York, L.A. punk rock from the late 70s, early 80s. And he's not aping the ideas because it sounds better. It's much more well produced. But that type of sound is prevalent all over the show. And it's not the UK punk rock
scene. No, no.
And so that's different than anything else they've done before.
And I think that you've got probably, you know, the strongest chorus.
Yeah.
Also, the break for the last part of the song is crazy on this,
right,
on this song. That break where, you know, the keyboards that lead in the break, like, it's totally unexpected. It's that left turn that you're like, wow, this record is really surprising.
We also didn't talk about the break in Beautiful, which there's a spot in Beautiful that basically is like Mike Peters singing like a Blood Red song. Basically starts singing
the tune
like that. And so there's lots of surprising breaks all over this record where you go, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's nothing. I remember one reviewer, I was reading some reviews of In the Poppy Fields. This is back in 2004. And they're like, yeah, the second half of this record's pretty good, but kind of boring. And I think if you look at how safe In the Poppy Fields was, like even the second half, they're all good songs, but they're sort of ideas that he takes to the logical conclusion without really, you're like, okay, cool.
So
cool.
To me, I would say that,
This record's not like that.
No, not at all. I would say that the safeness is, reminds me of Wind Blows Away My Words, one of my favorite songs off Raw, but it doesn't do anything besides Wind Blows Away My Words. Like, there's no break, there's no bridge.
And hold on to that when we get to Cenotaph, because that's great. All right. Next song up.
Heroin.
And
everyone has probably heard this song because it is either you have the record or it's a single that's out now and it was played out there. But Heroin is the My Love song. And it starts out strong, but my favorite part is when it breaks into Heroin at the end.
Yeah, I mean the rock part at the end, which is a Mike Peters trope at this point, to have the song sort of break into
a
rock
song than I've ever heard him do.
It's a different song. I think that this song rivals No Greater Love as, and it, I say slow song, not really slow, only part of it's slow, as like that sort of the sort of slow song for the record. I would choose No Greater Love from Blood Red. I choose this one from this album. I think it's really good. I think it's my third favorite song from the entire record. It's hard to listen to because of how emotional it is. And you know, most people who know Mike Peters know what it's about. It's also a pun. And actually, there's a movie on Netflix that uses the exact same pun right now.
Which I think
is really weird that came up so quickly. I'm not saying this is not like Mike ripped it off or anything. It just uses the same pun in the title. I'm like, that's weird that same pun would come up. So, but it's a great track, and it rivals No Greater Love, and both of those songs would be on my collected final record, if that's what we were doing. But the next song,
Peace Now. The next song is Peace Now. And this one, I divided me at the beginning because...
By the way, love the keyboards on this record. The key, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Feels like I've been here before.
Exactly, and actually the start of this record, the start of the song is pretty good. I was thinking of this to be like the acoustic punk rock song, and at first listen, I was all, well, this doesn't really do what it did. Listening to it many more times, it obviously does what it did the first time when I heard it, which is it's rocking in the free world, but it's not.
And one guitar, but not.
And what happened was, this is basically Mike Peters making his version of both those songs, but his own better version. So now he has the keyboards in there that are closer to what he wants to do now. Sort of a static drum beat, like a very steel pulse. I'm not saying steel pulse as in the band, but steel pulse as in the type of drum beat that's there. It's very, very, I'm just going to say, it's like, I think Neil Young would be happy with this song.
Yeah, I do like the response call to Pink Floyd. Which is kind of out of place only because he has a great thing to yell just randomly, which is no guitars and war machine. But then he also talks about not being a brick on the wall, which is true. I love the break in this one where you know the thing about the drums. You know,
yes.
How does it sound? I bang my drums in the name of peace, or in the cause of peace, or one of those. I love that. The song is very bassy. It has a deep bass sound, and it reminds me of Love and Understanding, the way that Love and Understanding has a deep bass sound. For another, I thought maybe they came at the same point in the record, but they don't. One comes one track later. So it's not like a callback, but I think those two songs would sound good together on a record because of the way that they sound similar. And this is sort of, to me, this is like a modern, like of the 2001 plus Alarm. Yeah. This is like, sounds like the 2000 plus Alarm song. But if you go to Cenotaph, which is next.
Cenotaph is something completely different.
Cenotaph to me is a culmination of trying to, like, of what an original Alarm song would have sounded like.
An air raid shelter, got some food and clothes, radiation suit for the fallout, and a bullet just in case.
Well, from theme, from lyrics, from the way the guitar sound, everything.
Cenotaph does one thing about, and I think that's about this whole record, except for this record, is not completely non-introspective, because it does have Beautiful and Neutral and Heroin, which I think are about, Neutral and Heroin may or may not be about other people and things like that.
Right.
But what Cenotaph does is place the song squarely back on the listener.
Yes.
So it's like, we know what this is about. We know what this could be about.
So, yeah, I mean, like, let's say, take it from the Mike Peters context. You know, if you want peace, you know, you're going to have war, right? Well, if you think about the radiation suit also at the beginning, right. This is could be a song about getting
chemotherapy,
right? Like it's a chemotherapy song, or it's a song about modern times, or whatever.
With a God of grace by my side.
Put it in the kink chemotherapy or even the Jules kink chemotherapy.
So I do think it has something to do with that. I mean, or you can place it in that direction. I do like the straight ahead version of the idea, which is it's about a guy that's basically preparing himself for, you know, war that's going, it's inevitable to happen based on the current times.
Right. So it's very, very current, but also very personal at the same time. And I know that sometimes Mike writes songs that are supposed to toe that line and they sometimes dip. Yeah. Either way, this song perfectly walks that line, where it could be about anything. It's whatever you want it to be, but you know there's something very specific that he wrote it about.
Plus, it totally rocks out.
It has great lyrics. The sound is amazing.
Yeah.
It sounds like a fully realized version of The Wind Blows Away My Words, at least from the guitar part at the end. It really is like indescribable in many ways for the way it sounds. It's like where did this song come from? Actually, I talked to a lot of this record is,
wow, where did this song come from?
Where did this come from? But so to me, this is the top one or two tracks from, it's either one or two on Viral Black, on Blood Red Viral Black. The next song is Hellfire.
Hellfire to me is sort of a toned down version of a song off of Change, because it sounds a little bit like Slowing Down the River, but much more toned down. And then
I closed my eyes and saw the light. Out of a dream you came to me. I saw my life flashing by me. I'm gonna love you till the day I die. Come back, come back, come back. Come back, come back, come back. If I should die in a combat zone, box me up and send me home. Someone tell my mama that when I went down in the hail of heaven's glory, it was hellfire.
It sounds like something that the Jack Tar should be playing.
Right. It really is to me. It's like, okay, you think whoever that you should be named Dead Man Walking,
this is
you started Dead Man Walking and that was your thing. This is what a real Dead Man Walking song sounds
right,
sound like. I don't know if that's what Mike is saying. That's what I hear when I hear this. This is a lost Dead Man Walking song, not a Jack Tar song, because that's sort of a pirate thing. This is Dead Man Walking in its entirety.
Right.
Kind of sums the whole thing up. And sounds great, and also sounds like you said a song off Change. I don't think it sounds toned down to me at all. I think
See, this is off Change. All the instruments were. So anytime you had an instrument that was supposed to be that was loud in the mix, it was loud in the mix. So, like, the drums at the beginning are loud in the mix. The guitar part comes in and it's loud in the mix. With this one, it does some of the same things. But it's toned down, okay. So not everything
is
11 in the mix.
When it enters the song,
exactly.
Right. So I think it's not jarring. It sounds good.
Right. Exactly. It sounds very, very good.
Not a lot to say about this. Mike said that this is a song about rock and roll. He mentioned Crossroads and stuff. Yeah, because that's very much a Dead Man Walking kind of thing.
This song would be perfect for when the Jack Tars come out and play again, and this is like a perfect Jack Tar song.
Right.
I would say that. So is Beautiful and Neutral too, because they're punk rock songs that anyone can really learn with them and play. But definitely they'd be in different instrumentation and different production. Number nine.
Let's skip. Let's skip Amnesty Criteria.
Okay.
So that to me is number. That's the bonus track.
The bonus track. So
it and Hellfire swap out. One's supposed to be on the CD and one's supposed to be on the vinyl record.
The CD.
Amnesty Criteria is supposed to be the then track number 8. on the album, and Hellfire Switch Attack number 8 on the CD. But I believe the CD got misprinted and has MC Criteria as track number as track number 9 as well as Hellfire, and so it goes 9, and so they go right next to one another. Let's talk about it at the end, and let's talk about MC Criteria right now.
Okay, Prisoners. From, we had mentioned Blood that Red. It was a full pushback to the 80s.
So's this,
and to me, this is a push to the 80s in a whole different way.
Right.
So this is as if NXS wrote an alarm song, in the 80s.
It's NXS wrote Absolute Reality or something.
Right. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because this is actually a great song. But does it fit on this record?
I don't think it fits on this record. This is a B-side. This like Prisoners is a B-side. Like, it's great. Flip over your single and you've got this song, and it's like, this is like where we were going, but not really. And that's what B-sides are for. Prisoners in this remind me of that. I know there's some people who think this is the best song out of the whole thing.
You know, and I understand those people, because they really were huge 80s music fans, and they're the ones who were, I'm not saying them, just an overgeneralization, but like, anyone whose first alarm song was Rain in the Summertime will think that MC Criteria is the greatest song on the show. That's all
I'm
going
to say. And so, to me, I'm driving back and forth to hospitals and hospices and nursing facilities and other hospitals for other people in the last 6 weeks.
All over the place.
And I did not feel the vibe of the beginning of this song. Maybe this is not the time for me to review this song, because I did not feel that way at all. I feel like we're in a much darker time than what Mike wants to put out on this.
Musically, I think it's fantastic. Like, it goes away from the whole punk rock idea, but it's also not a slow song. It's something that I don't think I've ever heard created, you know, by anyone in this band particularly.
Well, I mean, it does sound a little bit like Only Love Can Set You Free from Hurricane, but a way better version of that song. Like it's kind of like that. It sort of harkens back to that, you know? A lot of places in this record, it sounds like the alarm from the 80s, but like not exactly what you would have found. I like the ending of the song a lot. I think it's really cool. With understanding, guess the guy. But I think that it belongs on a B-side. That's how I feel about it.
Me too. I mean, it's still a good song. I don't mind it being on the record. To me, it should have been the hidden track after Armageddon.
So now we get to Armageddon in the Morning. And I want to say that we could probably have spent the whole podcast talking about Armageddon in the Morning. To me,
what are we both? How do we feel about this
song? I feel like this is the best song my producer
ever. We both feel about this is the best song.
Absolutely the best song on this collection.
Throughout his entire solo career, but I would say that there's also some subtleties here that he gets to do on his own that would not have been allowed in the band.
Like, you can hear, I can hear so many songs in this, but it's not aping any of them, right? So, like, there's a little bit of Rain in the Summertime in this track.
And there's a little bit of Blaze of Glory in this track.
There's a little bit of Spirit of 76 in this track. The office job, the bomb went off and you could not stop it. We fight for land and not for peace, to give away and not for profit. Is this the way of life or not? There's a little bit of Moments of Time in this
track. But I think those are all rock and roll ideas, where you have bridges that speed up and you have electronics going on and things like that. But yes, they all are pieces of songs. That
a little bit of Unbreak the Promise.
Unbreak the Promise.
But here's the thing, and there's harmonicas that you can hear, like little Marshall drumming, you know, in different places. But it all comes together where Mike is really, there's some lines in this song that are just amazing. Is this what drives me to pursue the seconds of joy that stick like glue to the strings that I strum there's breaks and points with piano and things that you're just like, wow, it's not just left field, but it comes from left field, but you're like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah, like, how did you keep adding to this? Like, where did the creativity come from?
It keeps going, and it keeps going and gets better as it goes along. It gets better.
Yeah, actually,
and
this
better
is one of those songs where it has about 7 or 8 verses, and I wanted more of them.
I wanted to get.
Even
I want this song.
Long.
There was a time when I was driving back and forth to the hospital where I played the song just on repeat.
On repeat, right.
Over and over and over and over. It's the only thing I wanted to hear because the only thing that made me feel like it understood my life at this point right now.
Right now.
The actual point where he talks about left and right. In the smoking sign on the airplane.
Yes.
I just had flown to San Jose to go to Apple for a meeting, and I was noticing that, and something about it driving, the whole thing had driven me nuts, and I'm like, I understand, you know, like being in that limbo, and I don't know if that's what he's about, but, you know.
I know, that's what I thought, too. I'm thinking about the plane, of being on the plane, too.
I saw a plane falling through the sky, a tailpiece down on the ground. Kids staring from a school bus window, wondering what's going down.
Well, because he talks about being on a plane.
Well, I mean, but I was thinking about it not being literal because that's what I was thinking of too. But Armageddon in the morning.
The acoustic, you've got great power chords. You've got acoustic guitars. You've got harmonicas in this song. But also, like you said, there's a little bit of like, you know, Blaze of Glory. There's a little bit of Spirit of Saints. There's a little bit of, but it's not a ripoff. It's like not even harkening to. It's like, hey, I'm gonna throw in every bit of every great thing.
If there was one, and I'm not saying this is the final song Mike Peters would write. I'm just gonna say, if there was one song that would sum up all the creativity he's had in his entire career into one place for 7 minutes, it would be Armageddon in the Morning.
And so after hearing that, I'm like, no, now I see why Two Rivers is not at the end of the record. Two Rivers is actually an angry song. But it's not an ending song.
Right.
It's actually the beginning of this record. The beginning of the battles happens here to explain what's going on. Now I see why this song ends this record. This song is a summing up of everything. I think in the past, Mike Peters has tried to write some songs that sort of sum up his career or sum up the record or sum up the time. This song does that. I don't know if you tried to do it. It feels effortless. You know, it doesn't feel like he pushed it.
No, not at all. In fact, there's not a misspent word here either, and there's so many of them.
It is by far to me the best song he's ever written. It's obviously the best song in this collection. Couldn't it be a single. Not that single means anything these days.
No. I mean, it would be great to have a shortened, but you'd need like a 4-minute version to be a single.
So okay, let's say that Mike needs to make a single record of Blood Red, Viral Black. To me, you start with Viral Black. Okay, I admit it. Amnesty Criteria does not make my cut. Two Rivers does.
Two Rivers makes my cut.
Beautiful does.
Cenotaph
does. Heroin and Armageddon in the Morning. So that
you
start with
Two Rivers also, right?
Two Rivers, right.
What about 13 Dead Reindeer?
We'll see if we have room for that.
Okay.
Then you go back to Blood Red, and I would want Tomorrow to be on there, but I want Tomorrow remixed with more guitars in it.
So Tomorrow and Coming Backwards. I
don't know if I put Coming Backwards on there. I think Coming Backwards.
It's already been on a record.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to fit, I like Coming Backwards, but I don't think it's as good as some of the other tracks that we've heard since.
Yeah.
I certainly would want Time and Love and Understanding, and I'd want.
I like Protection a lot. I'm not quite sure.
Protection is good, and No Greater Love.
No Greater Love.
I don't know. I think, I like Crowd Trouble, but maybe it doesn't fit as part of a full record. It'd be hard, you know, and it depends on what kind of story you're trying to tell. And I would almost say you would maybe reorder some of these tracks a little bit, but don't put out a cutout record. Put out a double album.
Yeah.
Maybe cut a couple. There may be a couple tracks to cut out that didn't work. Again, like I'd say that there's I Take Prisoners and
and Amnesty Criterion make them B-sides. There's a reason why they're optional. I know a lot of people like Tear Apart. It's pretty good. I like Tear Apart, too, but I think it may be a little too close to some of the other sentiment on the other songs.
On this record, there's like four songs that start exactly the same way.
Right.
And so you don't need all four of those.
Brighter Than the Sun, I think it sounds a little too much like a Color Sound song, so I wouldn't necessarily do that. I would put 13 Dead Reindeer back in, though, I think.
I like Crowd Trouble, but I understand why it doesn't need to be on this record.
So, it's tough.
It's different, though.
Tough call to put those songs. Different, but actually sounds like it should be there. So I think, I remember the reaction to Blood Red. It was very subdued online. I was waiting for people to review it. People say it. A few people came out and said they liked it. I really thought Blood Red was great. The reaction to Viral Black is like, almost like this is what people were waiting for.
Yeah.
Out of the wood where people are like, oh, this is great, this thing is fantastic. I think a lot of the people who, there's a lot of obvious good stuff on this record, whereas Blood Red is more challenging to find it if you want to listen for it. I still think Blood Red is a great collection, and I still think these are two sides of the same coin. I still think it'd be really hard to make a single record. I think you almost have to put it all together.
Yeah, I mean, a double CD, I don't know about that. You could probably, all the songs are long, by the way. There's some shorter ones, but none of them are
No, take a 70, what is it, 75 minutes on a CD? What could you fit? That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would try to fit it. I just try to fit as a long record with 13 or 14 songs.
I wouldn't do any of the chopping that's happened when he tried to put together.
Don't chop it up.
Is every song imaginable?
And I would almost keep them in the same order they're in, just with certain tracks removed, because I think there's a progression to how this sounds. Again, tomorrow, I still would remix it. I would guitars up in the mix. And also, Cenotaph, I actually would bring the synthesizer up a little bit in places. I think it sounds really good, and I think it gets buried. So a little bit in Cenotaph, a little bit more balanced, but it's tough because that song is almost perfect the way it is.
I'm in Peace Now, I might bring up the electroacoustic guitar volume a little bit.
Because it's a little bassy.
It's a little bassy, yeah. Other than that, though, I mean, you know.
So, really thrilling to be able to get two new records this year and listen to them and actually have them come at a time when I really needed them.
Right.
Really needed them. I still need them now. There's no end in sight to whatever's going on. But it's fantastic to have new music to listen to. It speaks in a way that stuff hasn't in a long time.
And it's actually the first real new music in a long time. You know, that was 2010, I think, was the last time.
The last time there was a new record,
right,
was...
Right, especially 7 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So I want to remind people again about the contest, the harmonica contest. Again, we have two Mike Peters signed Hohner harmonicas that were from the Vans Warped Tour. We're asking people to send us one or both of two things. Why we should interview you on our podcast about the Alarm, the Never Let the Fires Die podcast, and also what we would like to hear. We're going to choose one person who wins a harmonica for telling us why we should interview them, and then one person at random. It won't be the same person. And send your entries to steveafulton@gmail.com. Again, steveafulton@gmail.com.
Well, I want to say one thing.
Oh,
we will interview you if you win.
Yeah, we will. And we'll probably interview some of you other people, too, because there were a ton of entries already, and some people had really good reasons to be interviewed. I just don't think we gave enough people a chance. So that's why we're extending it to November 1st, 2017. Get your entry in. Hopefully I'll get this podcast up this weekend. It's the weekend, I think, today's the 6th. So hopefully it'll be up by the 8th, and we'll be able to do it.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back with another podcast very soon.
Yep. He does the thing about the drums.